I understand that here at the Chicago Temple, the Sunday evening class has been successively discussing our great acharyas, or line of disciplic succession, personality by personality, and it's a nice experience hearing about our very, very wonderful disciplic line and how amazing these personalities are by way of their empowerment from Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and his associates, and the wonderful things that they display in their lives, display the mercy of Krishna in a very, very wonderful way. This evening, just by coincidence, is one of my heroes in Krishna consciousness, Jiva Goswami. So, those of you that are familiar, in front of Lord Jagannath's altar, down on the steps below, is a picture of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswami are the chief of the six Goswamis, and the others are Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. Prabhupada liked Jiva Goswami also, and he described him this way, that in the history of the world there has never been one more scholarly than Jiva Goswami. Vyasadeva? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was a contemporary of Jiva Goswami, and his writing of the biography, Chaitanya Charitamrita, so elevated. And it was written at the same time as Jiva Goswami's life. Rupa Goswami, who is the Rasa Acharya of our line of disciplic succession, and Madhvacharya, who is the founder of our, but Sambhranaya's teachings that established in a cohesive form and wrote brilliant expositions on Vedic literature. But when you, so how can you compare anybody to those luminaries? But when you read Jiva Goswami's writings, you can understand why Prabhupada spoke like that. In the course of his life, he wrote, in Sanskrit verse, 400,000 verses. Some of you are going to school. You have to write papers for school. You know how long it takes to write a paper. And it has to be very precise because it's technical things. And this is Sanskrit, where very scholarly Sanskrit persons are going to be reading. It has to be very, very carefully written. 400,000 verses, the equivalent, because the number of verses in Bhagavad Gita is how many? 700. And how many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam? 18,000. And how many verses in Mahabharata? 100,000. So it's the equivalent of writing a couple of Mahabharats, about six or seven Srimad Bhagavatams, four or five Bhagavad Gitas, and a few other small books. One scholar. All very high teaching. Chief amongst his writings, at least well known for his, out of all of the books that he, some list of 30 books he wrote. Amongst them is the Sandarbhas, the Shat Sandarbha, six Sandarbhas. Just like Srila Prabhupada worked on his Bhaktivedanta purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, so 18,000 verses, commentary on every verse. Jiva Goswami wrote a commentary like that on all the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. He wrote a second commentary on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he wrote a third commentary on the principal teachings found within the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was not verse by verse, but it was concept by concept. And that's all packed together very nicely in the Sandarbhas. Tattva Sandarbha, Priti Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha. Just to give you some idea, there's a devotee in Boise, Idaho, some of you may know, Radhika Raman Prabhu. He did his PhD at Oxford University on about five or six verses of one of those Sandarbhas, packed into five or six verses with a PhD thesis. Gives you some idea how dense and how elevated this Jiva Goswami's writings. Some of you may have read Sri Brahma Samhita. It's in the bookstore. And the Sanskrit school in Govardhan is currently working on the Sandarbhas. They're working on a lot of projects. That's one of the ones they're working on. And Jiva Goswami, one of his works is a commentary on Sri Brahma Samhita, which is a summation of the same messages within Srimad Bhagavatam. I invite you to go take a look at Sri Brahma Samhita. I advise you to keep a dictionary with you when you're reading, because it's Bhakti Siddhanta's translation of Jiva Goswami's Sanskrit commentary on Sri Brahma Samhita. Very elevated. And when you read Jiva Goswami's writings, and then you read where Prabhupada is taken from Jiva Goswami, it gives a lot of appreciation of how Prabhupada took those very high teachings and made them very accessible for those of us that are short and aren't so tall. We can't reach those high teachings. So he made it very simple. Just like baby pablum. Those mothers know what baby pablum is. Take some nice this and that and put in a puree and very easy for the baby to digest because it's so smooth and creamy and goes down very easily and the baby can digest. So Prabhupada took those teachings and made them very accessible for the world. But I'd like to describe a little bit about Jiva Goswami's life. He was the son of Sri Ballabha, or Lord Chaitanya gave him a nickname, Anupam. And he, Anupam had two brothers, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, or Dabir Khas and Sakra Malik were their names when they were engaged in the service of Nawab Hussein Shah, identifying their position in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah. And Anupam was also in the government service. Jiva Goswami was born where his father lived, in Ramakeli, in the district of Malda, now West Bengal. And it's not clear, the biographers of his life have differing opinions of whether Jiva Goswami ever met Lord Chaitanya or not. And one version indirectly seems to indicate that he was, when Lord Chaitanya came to Ramakeli, those of you that know Lord Chaitanya's life a little bit, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. When Lord Chaitanya became initiated disciple of Ishwara Puri in Gaya, he had gone to Gaya to perform Shraddha for his departed father. While there he met Ishwara Puri for a second time, and he took initiation from Ishwara Puri. And from that moment, Lord Chaitanya was in great ecstasy and love of God, and he wanted to go to Vrindavan. In fact, he started going to Vrindavan. But when he was en route to Vrindavan, he heard a voice from the sky that said, "Not yet. You can go to Vrindavan later, because you have pastimes to perform to deliver the fallen souls. And there's so many fallen souls awaiting you." So Lord Chaitanya returned to Navadvip. Later, after he took sannyas, he again tried to go to Vrindavan. But when trying to go to Vrindavan, his dear brother Nityananda tricked him so that he would go instead to Shantipur and meet with Advaita Acharya, and as a sannyasi, again meet with all the devotees of Navadvip, including his mother, Sachi, where Mother Sachi said, "Don't go to Vrindavan. I'll never receive news of you. Go to Puri. Because Krishna is there too, in the form of Jagannath. Krishna is there." And the devotees from Bengal, they come and go to Puri, and I'll get to get news of you. I'll hear of your well-being. Maybe sometimes you'll come to take bath in the Ganga, and then I'll see you directly. So, obedient to his mother's will, he went to Puri. But he still wanted to go to Vrindavan, the land of Krishna. And so, the third time, he went to Vrindavan with a very large entourage of Maharaj Prataparudra and many soldiers, and thousands of people went with him. And those of you that know your geography of India, think in your mind, where is Jagannath Puri? If you, it's over here. This is India. It's over here. And Vrindavan is over here. And he went to Navadvip. That's not how you get to Vrindavan. You go this way. But he wanted to give his association to Rupa and Sanatan. He specifically said later, "I've come here just to give my association to you." So in Bhakti Ratnakar, it indicates that the third brother, Anupam, by that time had a son. Doesn't give the name. It may have been Jiva Goswami when he was just a small baby. So perhaps Jiva Goswami had Lord Chaitanya's association. But then Lord Chaitanya returned to Puri and then later went solitary to Vrindavan. So Jiva Goswami grew up where, after meeting Lord Chaitanya, actually it was they, Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam, had heard, just like we've heard, about Lord Chaitanya, but they had never met him. So they were sending letters through Brahmana messengers who would take pilgrimage to Puri and seek instruction and guidance from Lord Chaitanya, asking for his shelter and for his association. So Lord Chaitanya came and gave his association to them. This is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He's very kind and affectionate upon his devotees. So Anupam grew up hearing about Lord Chaitanya. Not just a little bit, I mean all the time about Lord Chaitanya. Hearing about Lord Chaitanya. And because he was just a small boy, and later his father, in the course of travel with Rupa Goswami, he died en route when Jiva was a small boy. So he grew up without a father, in the care of his mother. And so it wasn't until he was a mature age that he was able to do travel again. And by the time he was of a mature age, Lord Chaitanya had left this world. So he had a dream in which Lord Chaitanya told him, don't, because he was feeling great pain in having lost the opportunity to meet Lord Chaitanya. So go to Vrindavan. And there you can be with your uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. And they will give you Krishna bhakti. So he went, but he also wanted to go first to Navadvip, because in Ramakeli and Navadvip are not so far away, but he had never been. So he went to Navadvip, and when he went to Navadvip, he went to the house of Srivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit is a member of the Panchatattva, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas, Adikor Bhaktivrinda. He went to the house of Srivas Pandit. And who was there but Lord Nityananda, who immediately, he knew that Jiva Goswami was coming because he's omniscient Lord. He immediately stood up from where he was seated and ran to where Jiva Goswami had just come in and embraced him very warmly, very affectionately. Jiva Goswami wanted to pay his obeisances, and Lord Nityananda was holding him very tightly. Finally, Jiva Goswami fell at his feet, and Lord Nityananda very affectionately rubbed his feet on his head and said, I've come all the way from Kardaha just to see you. In so many ways, he was melting Jiva Goswami's heart, who was crying and crying profusely out of the love and the compassion of Lord Nityananda. Jiva Goswami already had such love for Lord Chaitanya, so he began asking about Lord Chaitanya. You are his brother, you associated with him. Can you describe to me Lord Chaitanya's pastimes here in Navadvip? In a very ecstatic mood, Lord Nityananda said, not only I can tell you, I can take you there. Let's go at once. So there's a very detailed description of the pilgrimage taken by Lord Nityananda, showing Jiva Goswami all the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in each of the nine islands of Navadvip. Navadvip Dham Mahatmya describes the glories of this pilgrimage. And to this day, following the very description of that pilgrimage, our devotees, when they go to the Mayapur festival, they follow one by one, each exactly as the pilgrimage that Jiva Goswami received, taken by Lord Nityananda. Very ecstatic description of that pilgrimage, very confidential. And at the end, Lord Nityananda instructed Jiva Goswami, according to Lord Chaitanya's instruction in your dream, you should go to Vrindavan. But before you go, I want you to receive scriptural training from a very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, and his name was Madhusudan Vachaspati, and he resides in Benares at that time, as well as at our present day. Benares was a seat of high learning and specifically impersonal teaching. The biographers describe that the teachings that Madhusudan Vachaspati gave were of the six essential teachings or doctrines, Sadarshan, those of you who know those, the teachings of impersonal teachings. Based upon the Vedas, there are some great, great, great historical scholarly persons that upon different premises from the Vedas, they'd established a high philosophy where God disappears based upon the Vedas. It was to train, it's not that they wanted to train Jiva Goswami in impersonalism, but they wanted to train Jiva Goswami in what those teachings are so that he would be qualified when later writing, he would know what those teachings are so that he can refute them through devotional teaching. Just like in our Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education, there's a 30-day course, a one-month course during Kartik time where they teach defeating Mayavad philosophy. So the first half of it is teaching Mayavad philosophy. Not so that the devotees can become, you know, fixed up in Mayavad philosophy. So they know what it is, so that when the refutation comes, they know what it is that's being refuted. It's standard procedure. So Jiva Goswami got very rigorous training. He was already super qualified in, as a scholar of Sanskrit. Now he knew the non-devotional teachings through a devotee. And then Madhusudan Vachaspati sent him to Vrindavan. And when he reached Vrindavan, he went at once to the temple of Rupa Goswami. By that time, the temple of Radha Govinda had been built. 7-story tall temple. And as soon as Jiva Goswami had come into the temple and saw the beautiful form of Govindaji, he was simultaneously very, very happy, but also transcendentally very sad, because he was feeling separation again from Lord Chaitanya. But as he was sitting there in the temple room weeping, Rupa Goswami came and at once understood who this was and came and brought Jiva Goswami to stay with him, and he arranged, he took care of him like his own son because he's his nephew. And he trained him very systematically in all the devotional teachings that Lord Chaitanya had given to him, that Lord Chaitanya had given to Sanatan Goswami. He trained him in the books that he had written. He gave him a place to stay. And with Rupa Goswami's own hand, he gave him a deity to worship. He carved the deity of Radha Damodar. And those of you that have seen the original deity of Radha Damodar, so beautiful. And that place where Radha Damodar is worshipped is in the temple, is in the Seva Kunj area of Vrindavan. Seva Kunj area of Vrindavan is where the Rasa dance, one of the primary places where Radha and Krishna would every evening perform Rasa dance. It was a very confidential place. And geographically, as far as the layout of Vrindavan is concerned, it's right in the middle where Gopal Bhatta Goswami's temple, Raghunath Das Goswami and Gopinath temple, the Radha Govinda temple, It's very centrally located. So as a result, the six Goswamis would go there regularly and just discuss Krishna Katha. Every day, for hours, they would discuss Krishna Katha together. And Jiva Goswami was their host. After some time, while Jiva Goswami was serving Rupa Goswami, some of you may know Ballabha Acharya, from a different sampradaya, but a very elevated Vaishnava. So Ballabha Acharya visited Vrindavan. And while visiting in Vrindavan, because Ballabha Acharya had previously had Lord Chaitanya's association, he had great appreciation for Lord Chaitanya and his followers. So Ballabha Acharya was received by Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami would regularly invite Ballabha to give critique, to comment on some of the writings that he was preparing. So there was one little incident, I'll describe a little bit, where Ballabha Acharya was listening to, some of you may know this from Nectar of Devotion, where there's a statement that says, those that fail to engage in devotional service to Krishna, their lives is like being haunted by witches. And Ballabha Acharya said, I get the idea, but the metaphor is a little extreme. Maybe you want to consider a different metaphor than that one. And he went on his way. And meanwhile, Jiva Goswami was in the vicinity and he understood that he was making critique or criticizing the writings of Rupa Goswami. So Jiva Goswami followed him to the river Jamuna, where he was taking bath, and engaged in discussion that turned into a debate. And very soundly he gave scriptural evidence and scriptural evidence and scriptural evidence and scriptural evidence why it was a perfectly appropriate. How could Rupa Goswami write anything other than this? Perfectly appropriate according to scripture. Ooh. Ballabha Acharya was impressed. And he went back and said, your disciple, Jiva Goswami, he's very scholarly. And the comment that I gave to you earlier in the day, I take it back. He's right. It's perfectly appropriate. Meanwhile, Rupa Goswami was not at all happy. He said, he called Jiva Goswami later and said, what have you done? He's a friend and I've invited his comments. He's giving helpful comments. And you've had this disagreement with him. You spoke very strongly. This isn't good. The symbol, the crowning character of a Vaishnava is he's very humble. So I think that you should leave Vrindavan for a while and develop this quality of humility. There are different versions of how this took place. His uncle, and who he considered to be his spiritual master, Rupa Goswami, had chastised him and ordered him to leave Vrindavan. So he left Vrindavan, but his Vrindavan is his life and soul. So Jiva Goswami decided, with all of his scholarly acumen, his capacity, to write a book that would establish swakiya instead of parakiya rasa. I'll explain. You know how it is in, you know, religious talks sometimes, that some group says this is the truth and another group says no, this isn't the truth, that's the truth. And the people that say, this is the truth, say, no, no, that's not the truth, this is the truth. Right? Then you've misunderstood. This is the correct understanding. So that was going on in Vrindavan at the time. Because the Goswamis of Vrindavan, listen carefully, the Goswamis of Vrindavan appreciated that Radha and Krishna is the highest form of conjugal love. The standard kind of conjugal love is not between lover and beloved, but between husband and wife in worldly affairs, or Lakshmi Narayan, or Sitaram, or Satyabhama Krishna, or Rukmini Krishna. But Radha Krishna? What's this? Because Radha's not married to Krishna. It's Satyabhama and Rukmini and 16,106 more co-wives, but not Radha Krishna. So the Goswamis of Vrindavan were teaching Parakya, love outside of marriage. Before Radha was married, there were the sporting activities, Leela, of Radha and Krishna, because they're eternally associated, but in Leela, it looks like not married. So Parakya. And Rupa Goswami, along the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, that's the highest. The love of Radha and Krishna is the highest form of conjugal love, Madhurya Rasa. Then there was some other group of learned brahmanas in Vrindavan at the time said, no, 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 that's wrong. Swakya only. So the controversy was going on. So Jiva Goswami, therefore, he wrote a book called Gopal Champu that describes the nature of Radha and Krishna's loving relation in marriage. Saying that's higher. He didn't like make a big deal about it. It's a long leela of long description of various pastimes. So those of you that have, again, that have read Sri Brahma Samhita carefully, you'll see that Bhaktisiddhanta makes reference to this. That Jiva Goswami, in order to humble himself before his guru, Rupa Goswami, he wrote something that supported those that were not approving of Rupa Goswami's teachings. Bhaktisiddhanta refers to that. It says, look at all of the other writings of Jiva Goswami, and it's very clear. He follows the line of Lord Chaitanya's Parakya Rasa is the highest. It's a detail that I'm sharing with you for those of you that are new. Right over your head. But it's an exhibition of Jiva Goswami's attempt to please his spiritual master. He wrote that way, just to please Rupa Goswami, rather than arguing with differences of Rupa Goswami. He gave a present beautiful literature. It's been translated into English, Gopal Champu. And he was so unhappy with himself, he threw Gopal Champu into the river, Jamuna River. But as it was floating down the Jamuna River, Sanatana Goswami was taking bath in the river Jamuna. And he saw this writing, because it was on plantain leaves. And he looked at the manuscript and he immediately recognized the handwriting of Jiva Goswami. Because he had been gone for a whole year. So then he understood. Jiva Goswami's upstream. I just have to follow the river Jamuna and I'll find him. He found him living in a cave in the side bank of the river Jamuna. And when Sanatana Goswami found him, he was so happy. And Jiva Goswami was also very happy to see Sanatana Goswami. And he told him, come with me, I'll make an arrangement so that Rupa Goswami will accept you back. So Sanatana Goswami went to Rupa Goswami's bhajan kutir, the place where he was maintaining his chanting, which was very near the Radha Damodar temple. And Sanatana Goswami came, and naturally Rupa Goswami was very happy. Oh, my brother, Sanatana, how wonderful you've come. How can I be of some service? He said, you can answer one question for me. Yes, what is that? The question is, of all the qualities of a Vaishnava, what's the most outstanding quality of a Vaishnava? Rupa Goswami said, Jivadaya, having mercy upon a jiva, is a quality of a Vaishnava, being very compassionate. So Sanatana Goswami said, very good, I have one jiva here. But I want you to show him your compassion. Please accept him again in your service. Rupa Goswami was very happy. Jiva Goswami was very happy. Sanatana Goswami was very happy, and Krishna was very happy. And that's one of his 30 books, Gopal Champu. There was another situation where Jiva Goswami was presented with a signature of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, a Digvijay, a debater, very powerful brahmana who, you know, came to Rupa Goswami's bhajan kutir and said, I hear you're very scholarly. I'd like to debate you. Rupa Goswami considered, I don't want to waste my time debating with a challenging, proud person. Oh, my dear sir, I couldn't possibly have debate with you because you're so vastly learned. I'll just sign something that says that you've defeated me. So he signed. And Sanatana Goswami similarly signed. And the man then went to Jiva Goswami and said, I want to debate you. Just see, your guru has surrendered, accepting defeat from me. To protect the honor, because this man was insulting and criticizing and blaspheming Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, for 3 days straight, debated with the man. The description says that he passed stool out of, in his pants, out of fear and shock and trembling. Jiva Goswami was very strong in his presentation of the scriptural teachings and their conclusions. And when you read the Sandarbhas, you'll see that as he's presenting certain teachings, he knows all the counter arguments, and he makes a statement, presents scriptural authority for those statements, and then says, some may say, gives the opposing argument, that this is not the right understanding, here's the right understanding. To those persons, I reply. And he gives his statement and gives the scriptural support. Others may say, it just like goes through essences of what our teachings are in a very, very refined manner. Very, very beautiful writing. Very clear. Crisp, clear, very deep. He was, of the 6 Goswamis, he was the youngest. Sanatana was the eldest. And then Rupa Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami was also quite young in comparison to the others, but still he was elder to Jiva Goswami. And Raghunath Bhatta and Raghunath Das Goswami were also elders. So after the other Goswamis had left this world, Jiva Goswami became the next in line of the disciplic succession. And because he was super scholar, other Gaudiya Vaishnavas or followers of Lord Chaitanya, they sent persons to study under Jiva Goswami. So just to do this very quickly, Shyamananda Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya became the three principal disciples of Jiva Goswami, who very thoroughly educated them in the writings of the Goswamis, which were based upon the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Very thoroughly he trained them to know inside and out what Lord Chaitanya's teachings were. While he was doing that, simultaneously, Jiva Goswami, along with writing 400,000 verses, he had a vision. And the vision was, these writings are very, very valuable. So he kept a library, fortunately for us, so that we now have those writings of the Goswamis. And he kept a library at the Radhakund. And he had around 100 scribes making copies, because there weren't printing presses, so they all had to be done by hand. He wanted the writings of the six Goswamis to be available for everyone. After some time, when these three, Srinivas, Narottam, and Shyamananda, were all trained, he gathered the books, copies of the books, and put on a bullock cart and told them, go out and preach, leave Vrindavan, take this message of the Goswamis and go on Sankirtan. The first traveling Sankirtan party was those three. In the course of their travels, the books were stolen. No, the books were stolen. They went through a kingdom where King Virhambir, whose capital was Vishnupur, had an astrologer in his court. And the astrologer did some astrological calculations and told the king, oh, right now, passing through your kingdom is great riches. Some persons are passing through, the most valuable treasure. And the king is thinking, oh, I can add to my treasury. Send some people at once to go capture that great treasure. So at night, when the Goswamis were resting, the thieves, acting on behalf of the king, stole all the books. And when they brought the bullock cart, which was covered with a big canopy, into the palace area of the king, and he opened up to see what was underneath, expecting jewels and gold, and it was plantain leaves with writings on them. What's the use of this? Put it somewhere in the treasury. And, astrologer, what's wrong with you? You said most valuable thing. And so when the Goswamis, when Narottam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda awoke, and this mission that they had been sent on was disrupted, they were very unhappy. We failed to carry out the instructions of Jiva Goswami. So, details. One went to search for the books. Two went to other places to do preaching without the books. The books were later found. There's nice detail. So, Jiva Goswami was a visionary. He, down to things like the place where Radhakund is today, at one time it was just a, when Lord Chaitanya found it, it was a pond in the middle of an agricultural field. Jiva Goswami had the sense to take the land around the area, and he made a legal document and put the land in the name of Raghunath Das Goswami. And when someone came and offered the funds to excavate, he gave the service to Raghunath Das Goswami to oversee the excavation. His intellect was up here. His capacity to do practical things was similarly very high. His writing capacity, his teaching capacity, his giving guidance and leadership, seeing to the spreading of Krishna consciousness, the teachings of the Goswamis throughout the land. He was a great acharya, very, very, very powerful Vaishnava, revered and respected by all. This devotee that did his PhD thesis, Radhika Raman, told me that just in Oxford University alone, after he did his PhD, there's now something like 10 persons doing their PhD in Jiva Goswami because his teachings are so attractive, so deep. It's drawing scholars to just appreciate the depth of his writing. Following Jiva Goswami's example, our Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and our Srila Prabhupada similarly engaged themselves, as Jiva Goswami did, in writing literature, seeing that copies of those literatures were made available for the public, and arranging for devotees of the Lord to carry that message into the public. It's what we're doing, following our founder Acharya Viskan, is simply following the example of Jiva Goswami. Of course, the time was different, and the circumstances different, but the principle is unchanging. It's the desire of Lord Chaitanya that the teachings of pure devotion be received throughout the world and the chanting of the holy name, awakening pure devotion, be made possible. Following their example, following Jiva Goswami's example, we now have the Hare Krishna movement by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I don't know if we in our bookstore have any literature directly written by Jiva Goswami, but those of you that like Srila Prabhupada's books, when the Sandarbhas are available, I recommend that you take a look. The language will be readable, but the teachings will be very elevating. The essences of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam given to us by Jiva Goswami, translated into English. I'm looking forward to that myself. Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanand ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.